Today we're talking with Greg Dunn, Executive Director of the Hawaii Nature Center.
Let's start then. Wow. Okay.
That I do not disturb.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Greg,
yeah.
For those not familiar with the Hawaii Nature Center, can you give me a brief description of what it does?
The Hawaii Nature Center is the state's largest provider of environmental education for families, children, and visitors. We provide unique environmental education experiences in the field. Every year, about 20,000 of Hawaii's elementary school children go into the field as part of their classroom studies. Our professional educators work with them in identifying flora, fauna, and natural processes.
Okay. And it may be obvious to a lot of people, but can you explain why you think it's important to teach Hawaii's young people about their environment?
I really enjoy when people ask me that question, because I like to think there are two answers. One's an economic answer, and the other one is more of a real life answer. And the economic answer is simple. Visitors don't come here to look at the concrete that we've poured in Waikiki. They come here to look at and enjoy our natural resources. The real life answer is that if our residents don't take care of our environment, we won't have anywhere to live. Our water comes from the mountains that are our mauka of where most of us live. We rely on that water as our most precious natural resource. And it's important for us to teach our children that importance so that they'll care for the resource and ensure that it's here for future generations. One of my favorite quotes from college was by Chief Seattle that says, the land is not ours, but it's borrowed from our grandchildren and their grandchildren and theirs.
Okay. Now, the Hawaii Nature Center has been around since 1981 and has probably educated or...
close to a million children.
Okay. And how about going forward? Are there any new programs or new initiatives that people might want to be on the lookout for?
We're really excited over our next 25 years. Next year is our 25th anniversary. We've been able to complete a capital campaign over the last 2 years that allowed us to build a new facility in Makiki Valley that we're looking to boost our family membership component. We're also expanding programs for adults and high school children that will provide for guided hikes and weekend activities for individuals and families.
Now, is that, when you say older children, currently you cater mostly to elementary school kids?
That's correct. Our primary core programs over the last 25 years have focused on preschool through sixth grade. We've leveraged our intellectual capacity and capital in developing programs now in watershed education for high schoolers and for adults. We've renovated our Maui facility which is the old Iao Lodge, to provide overnight accommodations as part of a experiential program in the rainforest, where locals and visitors alike will be able to come over in a group setting, stay in the rainforest, and work with our educators in understanding more about Hawaii's environment, and also doing service projects in the valley, removing invasive species, planting native species, and experiencing a very archaeologically rich valley on Maui.
It's interesting that you mention invasive species, which is a big problem in a closed ecosystem like Hawaii. And I know that the Nature Conservancy, that's a big issue with them, and I'm sure the Sierra Club probably also looks into things like that. How does the Hawaii Nature Center distinguish itself from similar groups that do similar kinds of functions like the Sierra Club and the Nature Conservancy?
I can't really speak to those organizations, but for us, we like to think of ourselves as purely educational. We don't take political stances on issues, And we don't buy land and land bank it, set it aside for the future. We focus on education as our primary mission. The mission of the Nature Center is to foster awareness, appreciation, and understanding of Hawaii's environment to provide wise stewardship of the islands in the future. And we really see that if we want to preserve this place for future generations, we have to do a better job as a community, we have to do a better job at educating those of us that not only live here, but also those that visit here, and how to care for our precious resources.
Okay. What are the Hawaii Nature Center's primary sources of funding?
That's drastically changed over the last 4 years. When I first came on board, we were an organization that had to fundraise about 80% of our $1 million-plus budget every year. Now we're at a point where we have a more stable mix of funding, which is about a third from program revenue, a third from government, and a third from traditional fundraising sources like foundations, individual giving, and corporate giving.
Okay. Now, you've been with the Nature Center since 2002, is that right? So you've seen that change in your tenure here. Those sources have changed.
That was actually for our survival we had to change.
Okay. Now, when you talk about your budget and your expenses, how many paid staff do you have and how many volunteers do you have here?
Right now, we have 25 paid staff on Oahu and Maui. Full and part-time. We also have last year we had 900 volunteers who contributed almost 9,000 hours of volunteer time to the Nature Center.
Is that a sufficient amount, or could you guys use more of that?
We always need more help. We always need more volunteers. One of the key areas that we really need help in is as teaching docents. Our greatest line item expense in our children's environmental education programs are our salaried professional educators. We work with schools on a one educator to every 10 students ratio. And with a class of 60 children, that means we need to have 6 people going with each one of the 400 to 500 classes that we work with every year. When you do those numbers and you think about it, if you were a business person and had to pay for each one of those 6 people that are working with the school children, the cost is exorbitant for the schools to cover. So consequently, we offset those numbers with teaching docents, volunteers who work with our professional staff. Our docent program is quite extensive, and the volunteers look at it as a very prestigious role for them to be trained and have an opportunity to work with the children in our programs.
How long does it take to become a qualified docent?
It depends on the individual and their ability to pick up the curriculum. It could go anywhere from 1 month to 3 months of training.
Okay. Looking a little into your background, before moving into the nonprofit sector, you were on the commercial end of things, working for two major retailers, Nike Town and Barnes & Noble.
Right.
What happened in your life, or what caused you to decide to make a career change into the nonprofit sector?
I guess that I always felt like I wanted to make a difference in the community. And when I was with Barnes & Noble and with Nike Town, I began to serve on various nonprofit boards in the community and really received great enjoyment from that service. Both with Barnes & Noble and with Nike, I was asked to leave the islands and take a promotion on the mainland, both of which I had turned down in order to stay in Hawaii. As I had turned down a promotion at Nike Town, and I began to think about what I wanted to do with the rest of my career, Don Anderson at the YMCA of Honolulu suggested that I may really enjoy working with their organization. I was on the board of the Kaimuki YMCA at the time, and the YMCA had an opportunity at UH as a student YMCA to undertake a project there and renovating the facility and building new programs and trying to really, you know, excite the students at UH about service work through the YMCA. And it turned out to be one of the smartest career moves I'd ever made in terms of getting out of for-profit into a nonprofit with a quality organization and bringing my skills in operations management and construction development to the YMCA. It really worked out as a great opportunity for me.
Now, were you, obviously those are skills that will serve you well in any organization, but now you're coming to an organization that's got a little bit of a different focus than something like the YMCA. Mm-hmm. Did you have an affinity for outdoor activity, or was
Absolutely.
It something? Yeah. So this was a good fit for you.
It was a very good fit. I grew up on a dairy farm and several hundred acres in southern lower Michigan, and was always an outdoorsman. When I was in college, I was a co-founder of our Environmental Awareness Society, and had always been active in environmental issues on campus. As this opportunity came available to the Nature Center, it just was a real logical fit for me to make a transition and come in and make a difference in our community and in the environment.
Okay. Again, this may seem obvious, but moving from the corporate world to the nonprofit world, are there just a couple of things that stick out in your mind as to what the major differences are and how you run organizations in one world versus the other?
The biggest difference was, it with Nike, for example, in working with a corporate entity, we would be given a budget every year, which was akin to bringing a bucket of money and setting it on the desk and saying, you can't spend any more money this year than what's in that bucket. And don't ask for any more, don't, you know, come to us and say you need more money. You can only spend that amount of money that's in the bucket for your construction, for your staff, for your marketing. Working in a nonprofit world, your bucket is set on your desk and the bucket's empty, and you can only spend the amount of money out of that bucket that you can go out and get other people to throw in and fundraise for. That's a huge difference, and something that coming from a business background, I wasn't particularly ready to face initially, and only through, you know, real trial by fire figured out that in the nonprofit sector, we have not done a good job in preparing our executives for that kind of reality. And it's something that I think that the Community Foundation here locally is really doing something about now in training the executives in the community to be better prepared for that reality, that you have a significant challenge running a nonprofit organization. Your sole existence is to do good in the community, but your challenge is to convince those people in the community that are able to support you to pursue those good works, to contribute financially or as volunteers to help you in your efforts.
Okay. I guess corporate world, you've got investors and you can show them your profitability and their return on their investment. Mm-hmm. Different situation here.
Exactly. Our return on investment is not necessarily measured just in dollars and cents, but, you know, we have a double and triple bottom line in most cases. You have, as an educational organization, environmental education, we're not only looking to make a difference in the attitudes and behaviors of the children and families that participate in our programs, but we're also looking at the environmental bottom line. What differences are we making in promoting wise stewardship, and how is that being translated on the ground in terms of forested acres, in terms of native species, flora and fauna that are able to survive and thrive in this changed environment.
Okay. And lastly, having served in leadership positions before and after, how would you compare the way you approach leadership in the business world versus the nonprofit world in terms of motivating employees and, you know, getting people to follow you? Do you sort of just transfer those skills, or do you have to take a different approach now?
Definitely a bit of a different approach. In the for-profit sector, there's a huge financial incentive to motivate employees. You have an incredible profitability focus. You have stock options. You have bonuses. You have great latitude with respect to salaries in your budget that you can allocate to different folks. One of the things that I found in the nonprofit sector is that not only do you not have the stock options, and you have very limited ability to provide people with salaries that should be commensurate with their experience and with the position they're engaged in, but you also have, in some respects, a different mindset with the staff that we're working with. My first day on the job and meeting with each of my new employees at the Nature Center, it became clear to me that a lot of the people that are here weren't here for the money. It wasn't a real profit motive for them. They were here because they wanted to make a difference. They cared about what they're doing. They care about the people that they're working with. And in my mind, those people deserve more compensation than what we can afford to pay them. They're not here for greed. They're not here for their own self-aggrandizement. They're here because they care. And I'm consistently perplexed in how we can fairly compensate them given the difficulties of our budget.
Okay.